Today on the podcast, we're talking about the first few hours after you deliver your baby because no one prepares for it. Hi, welcome to Happy Healthy Human Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Attard, coming at you from the beautiful Washington, D.C. I'm an Ayurvedic coach, yoga instructor, and doula, sharing with you all the things I am learning about and teaching about in my everyday so we can all find a little more balance, bliss, and confidence. I truly thank you for being a part of this community, and if you do enjoy this podcast, please do subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes, and definitely share with a friend who might also like it as well. Next Thursday, I am teaching an Ayurvedic cooking class over at the very beautiful Realignment Studio in Capitol Hill, D.C. We're going to cook, eat, talk all about Ayurvedic cooking and eating principles. It's going to be a really fabulous event, and if you're interested, please go to realignmentstudiodc.com. The other thing I wanted to mention is I've recently updated all of my packages online. I am super, super excited to note that, particularly for this episode, all of my doula packages now include charitable giving. So 5% of all of my proceeds from my doula packages are going to Every Mother Counts, which is a nonprofit dedicated to reducing maternal mortality through education and access to healthcare services. It's a really amazing foundation and group, and I'm really glad to know that now every time I work with a mom, with a family, I'm able to also support and help another mom and family as well. And so thank you for being a part of that. If you're pregnant, if you know someone that's pregnant or could be interested in my doula services, please do check it out on my website. It's called BeHappyHealthyHuman.com. With that, let's actually talk about these first 12 hours after giving birth, because this is a really important time. There's actually still a lot that's happening. I mean, you know, usually when we think of labor and delivery, it kind of ends with the baby in the hands and we're like, yay, it's all done. It's like, not completely all done. There's actually still some really important decisions to be made. And it's unfortunate because you're like in this beautiful lovey-dovey, oxytocin-filled haze of fabulousness after getting your baby out. But there are still decisions to be made and also really important things to know because it's going to impact your health and happiness, yes, in those first 12 hours, but also actually for the first 12 to 24 months, maybe even beyond. So let's talk about what actually happens when you deliver your baby. I'm going to be speaking, I should say that these are applicable to both vaginal deliveries as well as cesarean deliveries, and I'll call out differences with cesareans as it makes sense. So please do listen no matter what your birth plan or situation is. Okay. So baby comes out. Yay. So, so great. What happens first? Well, of course, we've all seen the movies. The first thing that happens is baby comes out, dad cuts the cord, right? That's what happens first. Well, I want to remind you of a beautiful little thing called delayed cord clamping. So for a while, we got really cord clamp happy. We started basically cutting the umbilical cord as soon as the baby was delivered. And this was done because it was thought that it helps reduce rates of jaundice. Jaundice is when your skin turns a little bit yellow, your eyes turn a little yellow. It means that your liver is not processing things as quickly, and it just causes a buildup of bilirubin in your body, which is why your body gets all yellow. And this happens actually to a lot of babies. It's a very high percentage. It is not incredibly uncommon, and especially when it happens in the first few days after delivery, it's not dangerous. It's not a bad thing. It's not a life-threatening, you know, lifetime worth of issue problem. It's something that's very treatable and very easy to take care of. But anyway, we got into this quick cord clamping, not just because it was easy to do, to just, okay, baby's out, but also because there's thought to be reduced rates of jaundice. Here's the thing, though. Our bodies are smart, right? So let's remember that we're trying to fit a baby through a hole that has to expand to hold the baby. I'm talking about the vagina. It has to expand in order for the baby to get out, right? So our bodies are really smart. A lot of the baby's blood is actually held within the placenta so that the baby is smaller. so smart, right? Like, baby is helping you out so that you can actually push your baby out more easily by holding some of the blood in the placenta. So if as soon as your baby is delivered, we cut the cord, then all of that blood from your baby is stuck in the placenta. This is not a great thing because that blood has very precious nutrients in it, like iron. It's water, it's hydrating. And so it's kind of, well, I don't want to say it's kind of, it's not great to have your baby be born and try to make it in the world with only 2/3 of its blood supply. It can do it. Of course it can. Your baby is very resilient. It can definitely do it. But I would say it's probably a better situation for your baby to enter the world with a full blood supply. This is also going to make sure that it has enough iron stores throughout the time that you're breastfeeding, because breast milk doesn't transfer a lot of iron to the baby. And so it is going to make sure that you can breastfeed exclusively. The baby doesn't get anemia. Everyone's healthy. So that's number one. It drains the blood back into the baby, which is important, but also it removes some of that blood from the placenta. So instead of trying to, two things. First off, as the blood leaves the placenta, it's again that reminder of, oh, hey, placenta, we don't need you anymore. There's no more baby attached to this thing. It's time for us to start to detach and be birthed as well. And we're also going to then be trying to push out a smaller placenta. It's not going to be as full of blood and nutrients, and it's going to be smaller and easier to actually pass out of you. So delaying cord clamping, which I should clarify, delaying is literally for 2 to 3 minutes. Delaying cord clamping will allow the blood to travel from the placenta to the baby, making your baby healthier, stronger, and also reducing what you have to actually pass through the birth canal. So cool. The beautiful thing is even while the baby is attached to the cord, in most circumstances, the baby can still be put skin to skin, which means the baby can still go on your chest. So let's move into skin to skin. So important. So rather than let's cut the cord and then whisk the baby away and wash it, no way, Jose. What we really want to do is actually put the baby directly on your chest, directly on the birthing parent's chest. In the case of a cesarean section, it might be the case that we have to put the baby on a support partner's chest, so on husband, wife, whoever is with you in that delivery room. We can put the baby directly on their chest as well. So we'll talk about all the benefits and why we do that. So why skin to skin? Couple things. Studies have shown that when the baby is skin to skin with their parent or just with another person, it's going to help regulate their blood sugar, their temperature, all their vital signs, their breathing. It's going to help them feel better. They're just going to simply do better than if they're like hanging out in like a bassinet somewhere. So that baby on your skin is going to be protective of it and really help it out as it's getting used to this world, as it's taking its first breaths. It's some really important bonding. I mean, that skin to skin, I mean, it's freaking beautiful. I cry every time I see a baby born, and not joking. It's such a beautiful time. And there's so much oxytocin and love hormones flowing around. And this skin to skin just helps increase that. It makes it real. It is like, oh, I didn't just go through, you know, a crazy amount of labor for nothing. There is this beautiful light at the end of the tunnel. And here's my baby. So you can put the baby right onto your chest, even while the cord is attached, and then they can still cut the cord right there. So if you do have a cesarean delivery, there are cases where you can do skin to skin. You can ask them to place the baby on your chest, but if that doesn't feel right based on either the medications you're getting or it's not, or if you're under general anesthesia, if anything's happening like that, you can prepare to have the baby go skin to skin with whoever's in the room with you, with your partner, support person, whoever it is. And the baby can get those same beautiful benefits of being close to someone else's heart, of being warm, of having better temperature control and blood sugar control. So there's some huge benefits to that skin to skin. And if you're like, wait, but the baby's all dirty, shouldn't we be cleaning it off? Actually, the baby right now, it is covered, but it's also covered in some really beautiful bacteria from the birth canal. And this bacteria is going to start, they call it seeding the actual baby, and it seeds the baby with beneficial, positive, good parent bacteria. If you think about, you're in a hospital, potentially, what bacteria is around? Not a lot of great bacteria, right? So we want the baby to be full of human, healthy parent bacteria, not like sick hospital cleaner bacteria. So keeping the baby a little dirty is actually going to be protective and can work. Of course, you get some of the wetness off, and if definitely like some wiping off is not a bad thing, but there's no need to like hose down your baby and soap it up as soon as it gets out of you. So skin to skin is a beautiful thing. Let's take a couple other notes on skin to skin while we're here. Couple things. First off, I'll pose this question to you. My listener that unfortunately can't answer me back right away, but hopefully you will on Instagram or elsewhere. You know, how important is it that you know the exact length of your baby as soon as it is born? Like, really think about it. If your baby's healthy, if everything's working, do you really need to know exactly what its head circumference is right now? Maybe those numbers are really important to you, in which case, for John, measure the baby, go for it. But the baby's not going to grow 3 inches in an hour and a half. So actually, a lot of the tests and measurements and things that they do in those first hour or two after birth doesn't have to happen right away. I mean, they make it sound like it has to happen right away. Like, can I go weigh your baby? I got to go weigh your baby. Like, sure. But it isn't urgent, right? Nothing that they're going to do is going to make or break your baby's health or give you some amazing insight really into your baby. You can keep your baby on your chest for an hour to 2 hours, which is the recommended, after you have your baby, and everything can be fine. And if they do have some tests, they can actually do some of the tests while the baby's on your chest. So they could take the head circumference while the baby's lying on you. They could do a little prick of the heel or take the footprints while the baby is on you. There's no reason why they have to rush the baby away. And so this is a note to mention that when they start asking, okay, can we run these tests? There's just ask, can I keep the baby here? Do we have to do this now? Is there anything wrong with us keeping the baby here for another 20 minutes, 30 minutes? Because this is a really precious and amazing time. This is never going to happen again, that this specific baby is going to be just born and on your chest. And it's a really beautiful thing to have the baby there when you do it, to have the baby there when you do it. So know that it is an option, and it is definitely okay to keep the baby on your chest for a few hours, or even a half hour, even an hour, before you start to run all those tests and do the measurements. So know that that is an option there. Here's the other huge, amazing reason why the skin to skin is important, why having the baby actually there on your chest for those first half hour is so important. Again, babies are smart. There's actually a reflex in the baby to start looking for your breasts to start breastfeeding. It is nuts. Like, if you just like left the baby on your belly, it would start like moving around, like, you know, kind of wiggling itself up to find your breast to start feeding. Insane. It knows what to do. I mean, it might not be perfect. You know, babies are still figuring out that whole latch thing, but the baby does know, like, hey, I should try to breastfeed. It's crazy. And so having the baby there allows it to start to explore and learn in that way. And that's actually a really important thing in your first couple hours after birth. The stimulation of the baby starting to suck is going to actually impact your breast milk supply as you go through your next, you know, 3, 6, 9, 12 months. And the baby's going to also start learning how to suck and how to actually start feeding. I think we've talked about this in a previous podcast. The milk at first, it's called colostrum. It's thicker. It's much less plentiful. And truly, your baby really isn't hungry. Like, it's getting some benefit, of course, from the breast milk, but it's not like the baby needs 10 ounces of milk right now. No, the baby is looking for comfort. The baby is looking for something that feels normal, for something that is better than this really weird, crazy outdoor world that it is currently in. And so that's what it's doing in that time. And that's why having it be able to be there and sit there chest to chest is going to help your breast milk supply, if you're choosing to breastfeed, if that's something that's important to you, and is really there for comforting the baby and is for helping it make sense of this new world that it has gotten into. So that's what's going on with skin to skin. We know it's just great for their temperature and their regulation of all their vital measurements. We know that the tests don't have to happen right at that moment, and that it's actually going to be really good for breastfeeding, both for the baby as well as for you long term. Cool. So while all this is happening, there's something else happening that we can't forget about, and that is actually delivering your placenta. And this is, again, a really hard one because everyone's focusing on let's get the baby out and we forget about what happens afterwards. There's such a flurry of activity. And so I just want to mention one thing about placenta delivery that we should all be aware of, because I think most women are not aware of it, and it's a really important thing. And this is what's called expectant versus active management of placenta delivery. So when the placenta, or after your baby has come out, after you've cut the cord, you're going to start having little contractions again, because you're literally going to birth the placenta in the same way you birthed your baby. And that placenta could take even up to 45 minutes to leave your body. And that is completely normal, completely fine. If you're doing skin to skin, your little baby's feet are actually like massaging your little uterus to help get the placenta out. It's insane. It's super cool. That's called expectant management. Let's wait. We'll watch the contractions. The placenta will be delivered. In active management, there's a couple different steps. Sometimes they will actually give you a dose of oxytocin, or Pitocin, I should say, to help increase the contractions. But the other thing that they'll often do is actually start to pull on the cord. This is called cord traction. So they're pulling on the cord to help you deliver the placenta faster. This is not a great thing to do and is very much not recommended by World Health Organization and other governing bodies, but yet it is still widely done. It is not recommended because when you pull on the cord, there's a chance that it could break. If it breaks, then you have retained placenta inside of your uterus, which is a much more serious issue. Another thing that can happen is that when you pull on the cord, you can if the placenta isn't fully detached, it can actually cause damage to the uterus. And I'm not going to go fully into it because I totally forgot to do like a trigger warning on this episode. And so I apologize for that. But know that it can cause deeper damage than just allowing the placenta to be delivered. There is some evidence that there is greater risk of maternal hemorrhage if you do the expectant management. That's just waiting for you to deliver it naturally. As far as I know, this does not necessarily lead to worse maternal outcomes, meaning you can have that technically more risk of hemorrhage, but get blood transfusions and those kinds of issues. If you have bleeding diseases, if there's reason to be worried about that, definitely talk with your OB about that. Make sure that you are doing the right path for you. But I do want to say, to let you know, that there is some major health risks of using active management of placental delivery. And a lot of doctors do it, and a lot of doctors don't even tell you that they're doing it. And so being aware of that, having discussions around that, putting it in your birth plan, talking about it when your baby is born, these are going to be really important things if that is something you don't want to do. So I wanted to let you be aware of that. It's a big thing. Okay, we've gone through a lot. I think we've gotten through all the major tests, all the major like take cares. Two or three other notes to say. First off, your body's going to be a little sore after you give birth. If you've had a completely unmedicated delivery, you might take some Tylenol to help reduce some swelling. If you've had an epidural, you likely might even still have your catheter in, and they'll still have the epidural giving drugs, so you might not get up and walk around still for another 12 to 24 hours. Same if you've had a cesarean section, they're going to keep the catheter and the epidural in for at least the 12 to 24 hour period. So again, you're probably not going to get out of bed until the next day. So that's just something to be aware of. It's not like, baby's out, I'm up and at it. might not be the case for you. For your body, please, so this is Ayurveda Sam talking, please be nice to your body with what you feed it after birth. Please drink some water, definitely some hot and warm water, and eat something soft and easy to digest. Please don't make it a big old icy milkshake. That's really cold. It's going to cold your body, which is not great Ayurvedically. And it's harder for your body to digest. Yes, you need calories, but your stomach was used to being squished up into the top of your abdomen because you had a big old baby, and now it's starting to descend and come back into its normal place. And so your stomach is not like normal pre-pregnancy you. And so please do have something soft, something warm, oatmeal, soups, broths, mushy lentils, like something soft, easy to digest, and really warming and nourishing. That is what your body is going to need at that time, and it's going to help you start to revitalize and rejuvenate from the inside out. So please take care of your body in that way by thinking of how you want to eat after you have your baby. Other than that, in the next 12 hours or so of your baby's life, they're going to be doing a lot of breastfeeding, trying to figure out how to breastfeed. You're going to have lactation consultants very likely coming into the hospital room, helping you figure out how to latch. It's going to be a kind of hectic time, and that's okay. And I just invite you to just simply hold the baby. Just simply hold the baby. At this point, they are so new into this world that what is going to be most calming for them is to hear a heartbeat and to be near to a heartbeat. And that's also what's going to be best for them with regulating their own temperature. I mean, they've done the studies. They're better than those kangaroo warmers over in the corner. Is putting them directly on you, your partner, your family, anyone that's there. Hold the baby, talk to the baby, let it know that it is not alone in this world. And you're going to be off to a really beautiful, beautiful start to your life with your newborn. I'm like so excited thinking about it for all of you because it is a really amazing and beautiful time. I know there's some serious stuff in there that we talked about, and there does still have to be some vigilance or awareness around what's happening in your body. But ultimately that awareness leads to you getting to connect deeper and longer with your baby. And that's a really cool and really amazing thing. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you do have questions, comments on this episode, anything you'd like to share, leave me a message over on Instagram. I'm at BE Happy Healthy Human. You can check out my website at BeHappyHealthyHuman.com. And please do forward this to someone you know that's pregnant, to someone that could use a little postpartum planning. I would truly appreciate it. I am sending you so much love and light, and that light in me very humbly bows to that same light in each one of you. Namaste, friends.